Marco Werman, and it's The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. All this month, we've been talking about the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. For many Japanese Americans, it's an anniversary that triggers all kinds of memories. There are some things that many just don't want to talk about. That's what reporter Akiko Fujita found out when she investigated her own grandfather's story and his split life between the U.S. and Japan.
I always thought I knew my grandfather's story. After all, he lived 98 years, plenty of time to get to know him. Morio Ikeda was born in Hawaii to parents from Fukuoka, Japan. He was petite, even by Japanese standards. He was a serious guy, but loved baseball. When World War II broke out, he was in Tokyo, working as an engineer and unable to return to America. Meantime, the U.S. government, his government, had locked up his relatives in internment camps. But even after the war, Grandpa stayed in Japan. He'd met a beautiful woman there, my grandmother. I thought he'd had the life he always wanted. But when Grandpa died 3 years ago, I realized there were things he didn't share with anybody.
He didn't tell me a lot about his childhood in Hawaii.
That's my mom, his daughter. She grew up in Japan and always wondered why her father never moved her, his family, from Japan to the U.S., his home.
Do you think he was torn between the U.S. and Japan?
I don't know. He never talked about that. He never.
But he left clues. After Grandpa died, my mom found a big brown envelope labeled important documents while cleaning out his home in Tokyo. She found school report cards, faded, but showing the B's and C's he earned in English and history. She found his high school diploma from Hawaii and a passenger list from a ship he once took to California. Parts of his life he never talked about, carefully preserved. I wondered why Grandpa bothered to keep the documents. He never seemed sentimental. Was it to never forget where he came from? My mom and I went to Hawaii to learn more. That's Yoshiko Machida, my grandpa's sister. She was surprised by our visit to her house in Hilo on Hawaii's Big Island. Auntie Yoshiko passed away last year, but when we talked to her in 2013, she was 104 years old and sharp.
They used to cook. My Jintaro used to work for sugar plantation.
She talked about my grandpa's life in Hawaii, growing up in a camp for sugar plantation workers. When his dad was at the mill, his mom cooked. Her meals were such a hit, she opened a restaurant.
Just around there, the Ikeda restaurant building was.
That's Gladys Nakamura. She knew my grandpa too and talked about how he lived the simple life. He went to college in California, then to Japan to study the language there. That's when the war broke out. My grandpa's nephew, Jimmy Hatanaka, says he didn't think the fight between the U.S. and Japan would escalate.
Do you think he understood, like, the severity of what was going on at the time? Or?
No, you know, it really, United States, the climate or the living in the United States or in Hawaii was peaceful, you might say. You know, I mean, hardly anybody took the war seriously, you know.
That changed fast, though, for my grandpa, when the company he worked for, NKK, Japan's largest steelmaker, assigned him to the shipyards. He built warships used to attack the U.S. Meanwhile, in L.A., the U.S. government put his family in internment camps. I've always wondered how excruciating that must have been for my grandpa. Being in Japan, helping wage war on the U.S., his home country, while that same country imprisoned his family. The Great Tokyo Air Raid was a turning point in his life. Roughly 100,000 Japanese were killed that day in 1945, the deadliest air raid in history. Here's my mom explaining in Japanese. She says Grandpa was in Tokyo Bay that day, testing a warship he'd built when American forces firebombed the capital. They wiped out the shipyards, killing most of his co-workers and his friends. My mom says Grandpa wrestled with his feelings toward the U.S. and Japan. Ultimately, he never moved back to America. My mom thinks he couldn't, not after the U.S. killed so many of his Japanese friends. I'd always thought he put his American roots aside when he started a family in Japan. But the documents, the photos I've discovered since his death, makes me think he never stopped missing the U.S. My mom says he even tried to teach her the national anthem growing up. I'll never know. But I hope to continue sharing his story to anybody who listens. I think that's secretly what he wanted all along. He just couldn't get past the pain. For The World, I'm Akiko Fujita, Los Angeles.